The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 1st of April, 2021. On the podcast today, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about Joe Biden's multi-trillion dollar stimulus plan and the following companies: Bushveld Minerals, Scott Gold, Savannah Resources, and Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel, discusses how to deal with missing out on a big winner. We discussed that because I've had a few. And also news from Diurnal. Plus, as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most read RNSs too. By the way, as always, you can see both these lists if you go to voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll also see lots of the content. In fact, there's an article there on Cadence Minerals. There's a video there. That's a handsome chap. Who's that? Oh, it's me. Yeah, sorry. It's me chatting to Dan Betts, who's CEO, and Murray Patson, Hummingbird Resources, Chief GP or Geo, on video there. You can see that on the page. There's an article on Infrastrata. There's one on Galliford Try. There's one on Tech Capital. That's Fran writing all those articles. She's been busy today. And also, our COVID-19 index, always worth checking out. And, in fact, biggest rise of the day is Way Education, a company I did quite a few videos on, and I exited a little too early because they've just had a takeover deal announced. And they're up by 43%, and that makes it 437% since I first talked about them. I didn't have any of that success, really. I had a bit of it, but not that much. Biggest faller, Gene Drive, down 9% to 70 pence. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Good. Now, I saw old, what's his name, Biden. He's got the Biden dollar bomb out, trillion dollar bomb. He's going for it again, isn't he? He's really, and they're sort of leading the world here, aren't they? And America, if they stimulate, it's generally good for the rest of the world, isn't it? So what's the figures around this? I saw it was trillions, you know, but he's determined to get the economy going, isn't he?
Well, yes, it's not just about getting the economy going. It's about keeping up with the pace of infrastructure growth in China. China is determined to overtake America in terms of manufacturing supremacy, and in terms of high quality, high value goods. And to do that, it needs better infrastructure. And of course, if anyone's travelled around America, you can quite easily see that a lot of American infrastructure is in need of serious work. And in fact, there's a lot of public transport type infrastructure that they simply don't have. If you compare the New York subway with the London Underground, it's a very poor comparison. So there's a lot that they really need to do, and particularly they need to do in order to meet the zero carbon goals that are being set by the various politicians. Biden's has announced a $2 trillion package. That's enormous. I mean, that's $150 billion a year of infrastructure spending support over the next 15 years. So if you think about it, it's not just going to be $150 billion a year. It's going to be $150 billion supporting a lot of other finance that comes into to build infrastructure. So it will, in fact, end up being a bigger package. And that's huge. I mean, that's big ongoing stimulus that's going to help to create massive American construction giants. I mean, you've got big companies there already, but these companies are going to get so much bigger on the back of this ongoing expenditure, because what you can now do is you can plan to have much bigger construction companies and plan to push these projects through.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a massive package. Biden's got a massive package there, John. But no, it's really impressive. And the thing is, you've got two moving parts here, right? First of all, you've got the pandemic, which, of course, you need to reignite the economy of America. But you've got a new president as well. So he obviously wants to come in here. First 100 days is the thing, isn't it, where you make your mark and you lay out their plans, say, this is what I'm going to do, and you make some big moves, make it bold, big and bold. And he's doing that, isn't he? You know, so it's obviously, you know, America needs it. He wants people to you know, improve their standing economically in America, but also it's politically driven because he's a new guy in the new office and he wants to make a market, isn't he, you know?
Well, for me, what's important is this commitment to a 15-year plan, because it's not all going to happen day one. It's going to take them time to push through these new plans. They, you know, it's a democracy where everybody gets a say. So there are going to be environmental issues on pushing projects through. Nothing will happen quite, you know, nothing will happen today. It will all be tomorrow and further down the line. And of course, Biden's still got to get this through, you know, get this passed through the legislature. And that's not necessarily a slam dunk either. So it's not set in stone yet, but it is very, very good news from a commodity perspective if it gets passed through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's also announced a bit of a hike in tax, isn't he, in business tax. So people are saying that's bad. But you know what? I suppose they've got to do that on one hand, haven't you? You've got to, you know, because you could say, how old is he now? He's getting old, isn't he? You could say, listen, I'm going to pump loads of money into the economy. By the time I have to pay this back, I won't be here. So it doesn't bother me. So, but, you know, he's been a bit responsible there and saying, let's raise some business taxes as well. So, yeah. But, I mean, net, this is quite positive, isn't it, for the markets and for the global economy, isn't it?
I see this as enormously positive. Sure, if corporation tax goes from 21% to 28%, that's a way of paying for it. It's a way that the government says you have to pay for the infrastructure that has to be put in. Well, companies are going to have to pay for infrastructure one way or another. So it's just, I see this as just a way of creating more of a plan and ensuring that stuff gets done and doesn't get kicked down the road quite so much as it has been over the years. And undoubtedly, where many, many Western countries need to put in more infrastructure, if only just to keep pace with what's going on in China, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 exactly. Cool. We could have the. Do you know what? When you get a reset like this, and I mentioned this before, a reset of all global economies, and then all of a sudden you start from a low base, you know, or you know, you've been forced into contraction pretty much. But you're all coming from this, you know, contraction, and you're growing all at the same time, and everything's in sync. The world economy is in sync, growing at the same time. That's a very powerful force, isn't it? Because normally you get, you know, one economy, like in 2008, for example, you know, the Western economy is in recession, but China wasn't really much, or Australia, you know. But now they've all sort of dipped into that contraction a bit. Now we're all coming out. So that's quite a powerful force, isn't it? But it's all in sync. Think, you know?
Well, I mean, this is the sort of Goldilocks environment in many respects. China is touching the brakes, so it says. I don't think China will really touch the brakes barely at all, frankly, because they want growth. They really want to leapfrog the American economy. And their manufacturing PMIs were still strong in March. Non-manufacturing PMI is incredibly strong in China, up at 56.3. So the composite at 55.3 is looking very good on the purchasing managers index. So it's a really powerful economy there. Yeah, it would be natural to slow down some of the, shall we say, the emergency stimulus that was put into the Chinese economy, particularly with the US now hitting the accelerator pedal and pushing ahead, because otherwise, I mean, there isn't going to be enough commodity to go around. I think there are. It is going to be very difficult to source, particularly the battery metals commodities. You've got new infrastructure being proposed or new stimulus for the gigafactories. Mm-hmm. Again, there was the Democrats' plan, $12.5 billion to go into new lithium-ion battery manufacturing capacity in the States. So we don't know who's going to get that money. Will it be Ford, General Motors, Tesla, Fiat Chrysler? probably the whole lot, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Okay, let's get into some company news. I had someone on social media saying, is John Mayer coming on? Can you ask him, talking about Bushveld? I'm taking a hammering here. What's happening with it? Any news? Anything happening? So John, I know you like it, but I know you like a Bushveld. So what's happening?
Enerox.
Pardon?
Bushveld have announced that.
Oh, hang on, it's up to the, sorry, look at the share price. It's jumped today a little bit, hasn't it? So it's up like 11 or 12% now, almost today. So, yeah, there we are. Bit of movement.
Bushveld have announced they're putting $7.5 million into Enerox as part of a $30 million funding to scale up production capacity there. So Bushveld, they effectively took command of half of the Enerox business, and that business makes vanadium redox batteries. So they're bringing in new funding there to expand the Enerox business, and that says to us that there's more demand for vanadium redox batteries. I mean, there are a number that we know of that are being built at the moment. If you look at the share price of Invinity Energy Systems, they are also pushing ahead. That's INVINITY, if anyone's looking that up. So they've done well. I mean, that was formed from the merger of Red Tea and Avalon. Good combination there now. And so what's happening is the manufacturers of these vanadium redox flow battery systems are getting bigger and bolder, and we're hopefully going to see many more of those systems rolled out, and that will increase demand for vanadium in electrolyte, and of course for the underlying vanadium. And I think this is one of the drivers for increasing imports into China, in that China is importing more vanadium, mainly for strengthening steel, but possibly also for vanadium going into their vanadium redox battery installations. I think the jury's still slightly out in terms of how many of these are going to get installed around the world. But there certainly seems to be a move to support lithium ion battery installations with flow batteries, these vanadium flow batteries, to create a much more robust and powerful battery system to support solar and wind power.
Yeah, well, do you know what? You're the fundamental guy. I'm looking at the technicals here. That's a good move today, actually, because if you look at the way it hit the bottom, dash for cash crash back in March 2020, it went down to 8.8 pence, pretty much. It bounced up as normal, then traded in a range for between 16 and pretty much 10 pence there, and then broke out of that range, which is good, about December time. Big up day. Always look for big up days. There's something happening when you have a big up day. It broke out of the range there, went back to 24 pence, but it's grinded lower. And now it's gone. By the way, it broke above the 200-day moving average, 200 days, normally known as the bull bay line. It's the granddaddy of all moving averages. And it's come back down, hit that, bounced again. So that's good support. I'm saying that now. You've seen it retested that previous low. It's going to move now. So maybe it consolidates sideways, but I think we've seen the low here. I think it may start grinding higher from there now, as it looks very good in the chart. So I'm calling it. Yep. I know you like your Bushveld, John. So, nice to speak. That's Bushveld. Let's move on to the next one. And so we got, you were talking about Scott Gold. Did a fundraise, did they?
Yeah, they raised £1.5 million. They suffered some delays, mainly COVID related, at the mine, the Cernunnos mine in Scotland. They reiterated their production target, guidance for this year at 25.7 to 28,500 ounces. 1,000 tons of throughput, 7,000 to 7,900 ounces of gold. So that's nice. I think they're going to get a good premium for the Scottish gold. Certainly when I went up to the mine 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, there were a number of Scottish jewellers. One of them had actually travelled from the Orkneys. And they're very, very keen to get their hands on Scottish gold. And of course, I guess with the Scottish movement on devolution, anything that's truly representing the value of Scotland is particularly important. So we see this mine as highly cash generative, but they just needed a bit of extra cash to cover working capital. while they push that into production and before they get the cash back in off those gold sales. So even if we use a relatively modest gold price of $1,250 an ounce, we still see over 20 million pounds a year in EBITDA. And 15 million pounds a year in free cash flow. So it looks like a good mine to me.
Yeah. And I know there's a bit of pressure here, but that's a good time to buy. The gold price is ticking lower and it's grinding lower. And I've talked to another gold producer yesterday on the podcast who's frustrated by that. But, if you look at the fundamentals and the printing of money, hard assets will benefit long term. It's just one of those dips, I think, isn't it? When actually, right now is a good time to be looking. The time to be looking for gold miners is not when the gold price is high and everyone's shouting about it. Now, while no one's talking about it, the quiet time, that's the time you do your research, and start looking for bargains, isn't it,
Yeah, exactly, because there was huge momentum in the gold market. I mean, the gold price had gone so high and so fast, mm-hmm. And everybody was buying up the gold miners. In fact, the market wasn't as fast to buy them up as one might have imagined. But, of course, there's a lot of momentum trading in all these things, and when the gold price pulled back, so did all the gold stocks. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult for some of these guys. It just means it makes the share prices a bit more volatile than probably they ought to be. Mm-hmm. Doesn't change the nature of Scott Gold's business materially, because they're still going to make, unless the gold price falls below $1,250, well, below $1,000 an ounce, it's still going to make very good money.
Yeah. Cool. All right. And next one, Savannah, last one. Savannah Resources, a bit of a broken note on that. What's happening there, John?
Yeah, we put out a note on it. Target price 11.5p. They're about 4.6p at the moment. So, and we've based the note on a spodumene price. Spodumene is one of the raw materials for lithium of $500 a ton. I see in China the spodumene price today is something over $600 a ton. So, $660 a ton. So the spodumene price has literally jumped overnight. So it's a very well-timed note from that perspective. And this is on the back of Joe Biden wanting to put so much money into U.S. lithium-ion battery manufacturing. And yes, there's plenty of lithium in the world, but there are not enough lithium mines in the world, and it's not possible to increase the production at the mines that we currently have to satisfy all the gigafactories that are being planned and built and proposed around the world. So prices are going up. I mean, that's just that it can't really be any other way. And the lithium miners, having had a very, very tough time for about 10 years, are beginning to show a bit more, that there's more interest in the stocks.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff, yeah. Nice bit of upside there. Cool beans, John. Have a nice long weekend. And any plans, or just lying down, and admiring your gold?
Catching up on the gardening, to be honest.
Okay, cool. Well, that's nice.
We've all been working so hard at this for the first quarter. I think we need a break.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. John, thanks for that. We'll speak next week.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare at SP Angel. You all right, Vadim?
How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, do you know what? We were just talking there, and I thought we should have put this on the podcast, but just talking about missed opportunities where... And it came about because a company I held, and I did some videos on, quite a few videos, I really like them, online education company called Way Education. And, of course, online is getting big, and it was going that way. But it's just having patience, and I jumped out. I made a decent profit out of them, but... But they've just been an offer now, and just taking them up to what they are now. They're now at, in fact, 437% up. And I think I did about 50% on it. So it's so annoying when that happens. And I said, another one of that is Argo Blockchain. I got bored, basically, sold it. And because it's the end of quarter, I looked through all the companies I covered on videos and stuff. And that one, 3,224% since I talked about it. I got about 15-20% out of that. And so a grand in that will return you 33,000. You've got to laugh, otherwise you'd cry. And you mentioned Novacyt, didn't you? And Synergen, and it's always these ones that get away,
Absolutely. And I've had the same happen. And, hindsight is 20/20, right? So it's always hard to, you've made a gain, you've taken some money off the table, but in hindsight, it's easy to say you would have held all the way up, but it's almost unlikely. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I know myself well enough. I probably would have taken some money off the table, you know, at a much lower level. No one expects, like in the case of Novacyt, 100-time return, right?
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult, but you know, making a gain is always a good thing. So if you've come out a winner, you've done well. Looking back at some of the big winners, it's hard to imagine I would have held all the way through the 100-time return, right? That's the difficulty.
There's always that. You know, there's always the point where would you giving it up in the end? But I suppose a good thing to do is we'll learn about these kind of things. You know, and if your initial research is decent and good and is still standing there, and the investment case is still intact. And I say, I did a video on this, 3 reasons not to sell. One of the reasons is impatience, you know, because you guaranteed when you sell, it may not happen the next day, but if it's improving the business below and the share price is just going nowhere, that's not a reason to sell, because sooner or later it will re-rate. And it's just patience, isn't it, sometimes, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So annoying. I've jumped out of so many like that, and I thought, why did I jump out? I'm an idiot. But I'm trying to learn from that, you know. And now I found the holding of my companies. I've been a lot better at holding companies recently. And I'm holding quite a few companies. In fact, my longest hold at the moment, I think, is Plarium, which is I've held for a couple of years now, you know. So that's, and it just proves it's doing well. When you know it's a good business there, you understand it can be a good business, can be massive. Don't get bored with it when it stagnates for a while, the share price, because that's what happens. You get consolidation, and that's just a bit of churn by and sells, and then sooner or later the sells will drop off, the buys will, you know, increase, and the share price will rally. But it's just that kind of patience, isn't it? You know,
I think I agree with you. I think the difficulty with so patience, you're absolutely correct. I completely agree with you. It's just also looking at what the next, say, 2 years look like in terms of news flow, right? Mm-hmm. So we all agree that dead capital, leaving your capital doing nothing, feels terrible, right? If a company is just going to hover and go nowhere, you know, for some time. The key to that, certainly with AIM stocks, is just to kind of assess what the next, you know, 12 months to 2 years look like in terms of news flow. And if it's rich in news flow, well, then definitely the patience element kicks in. If it isn't, that's when things get you know, boring, and you're going to need a lot more patience, right? So that's the time to think about what do the next 2 years look like in terms of news flow? And, you know, that's how I decide on what, am I going to be patient or not with a stock?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. I mean, like I said, you know, Novacyt, Synergen, Novacyt is phenomenal. That, what that did in that 1 year, 60 times, I think it was, wasn't it, in 1 year, which is, that's phenomenal. Cool. Yeah. Let's go into stock you want to talk about with some news out. What is it, Vadim?
Yeah, so it's Diurnal. So it's a stock we've been talking about, you know, for the last, I think, year almost. You know, it's a company that had, so basically the news it just had was on Friday, it had its EMA approval effectively, okay, which is the European regulator. The European regulator gave the go-ahead to their second drug, which is a drug called Chronocort.
Okay.
It's a treatment for, it's an orphan indication called CAH, but basically it's hydrocortisone, which is reformulated to, you know, the idea with hydrocortisone treatment is to remove spikes and troughs of hydrocortisone in your blood throughout the day, and that's what Chronocort addresses. So this is a big, it was a, you know, it's a, always a regulatory approval is effectively binary, right? Either you get it or you don't. And when you don't, the share price collapses. When you do, the share price goes up. So I just wanted to flag that it's gone the right way. I think this is probably the biggest news the company has ever had, actually, because its whole reason for listing, whenever it was, slightly over 2 years ago, was to fund trials to get this drug approved by the European regulators. And they finally got it. So, and it was a rocky road, I can tell you that much. I mean, they had a phase 3 failure in their clinical trials, and then they went back to the EMA, and the EMA, and this was the opportunity, in my opinion, was, you know, because they re-rated downwards, obviously, on a phase 3 failure. That was terrible news for the business. This was about 2 years ago. It was about, I think, a year or something into listing. The stock price went from like 150 or 200 P down to 20 P. That was the time to buy. You know, it had a good rally, and now it's on to its next phase, which is now it's becoming a commercial business. So that, you know, they already had one smaller product that they were starting to sell. This next phase is the commercial phase of getting Kronecord out into Europe, etc.
Yeah. Let's look at the chart there. I was looking at the chart to make sure you know. Oh yeah, a nice little rise there, didn't it? On that news, but it's pulled back a little bit. So it did go from say 70 up to sort of 90, and then it came back to 83. But so what's the market cap here then?
So market cap is about 100 or some. It's about 100 million. 100 million.
Yeah, 101. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So you think lots of potential, yeah.
But long term, yeah. I mean, this is one where you got to consider the news flow, right? So medium term, I think it's commercial execution, which was going to take some time, right? Mm. So you know, back to you know what I've done is, you know, I'm out now, and I'm for the time being, because I want to see, you know, commercial traction gain. So, you know, I've been looking at this stock for the last year, and this is what I've been saying on the news, on the podcast in the past, you know, they've executed on the plan that I've wanted them to, right? Mm. So I'm delighted, you know, the time now is the next phase is to look at what's it going to be like for the next 2 years in terms of news flow. You know what I mean? Mm. So the big kind of binary event is now behind them, right? Yeah. So that was my punt. It was, you know, I was betting on this trial. Yeah, sorry, this approval coming through. It went the right way. I think it's the right. Yeah, I'm glad they did that. It was, you know, I didn't think it was binary. You know, I think that their correspondence with the MA was a very good sign that it was going to be going the right way. So that's why I thought it was not quite a binary bet. But I just, what I wanted to flag is, it's, you know, something we were discussing. It's the story has moved on. It's arrived. They've gone through this big hurdle. And now the company's turning the page and moving on to the next phase, which is commercialization. Now, the risk profile of that is, you know, am I going to look at this business down the line again? Probably. I'm certainly going to be following it. My thinking along those lines is it's a completely different risk profile. So, you know, we need to see some more color about how their plans, you know, what their plans are in terms of execution on that. So commercial rollout is a whole different set of challenges. But it's an interesting area. So what, you know, what do they do? They're in the area. This area is an orphan indication. So when you think about commercial rollout for an orphan indication, it's very targeted. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it, but I would like to see more color before, you know, kind of before we make decisions on which way this is going to go.
Yeah. No, I like that. You know, I do a lot of stuff and. I'm obsessed with shares, and I think there's only two times to get into a company really, and that's pre-hype. You know, that's when something's got a bit of hype about it. There's a new big news coming up maybe, and then you know the share price is going to rise on that news. But then that's not sustainable. Sometimes it'll go up, you know, rapidly and come back. So you need to get in early. If you're in early on most things like that, you do quite well. But then you get that hype cycle that comes over, people start selling, comes back down, and then you need to get commercial traction. And then that is a slower rise, but it's more sustainable long term. And so you've got to know the difference between those kind of rises, haven't you? There's lots of stocks out there that have no revenue, but they will rise quickly on a good bit of news. They're small caps, micro caps. But if you want long sustained return, you need that commercial traction, that revenue generation, and cash flow positivity.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's changed in this business. It's gone from biotech kind of, you know, still has that, right? Because it has other programs in the pipeline. But, you know, it was really, really biotech risk up to this point. And now going forward, it's changing. It's becoming more of the commercial risk, right? Commercial execution risk. And that is where this company is at. And, you know, it's worth considering for a different set of risk profile. So my interest in this stock was the biotech risk, and believe you me, that can go both ways, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that is something that has to be. There's a high risk tolerance that needs.
Do you know what? In my first video, I've done 10 lessons I've learned in the stock market. The first one is about risk, and I say, you know, and it's all different kinds of risk, but you can mitigate against. And one of them are sectors. You know, there are certain sectors that are very high risk, but they can be heavy, you know, very high reward as well. But, you know, the chances of a company going from preclinical to phase three and getting to a commercial are very low. It's about 13%. And that's odds against. That's like betting on a second favorite at a yep. race course. So that's a gamble, you know. So, you know, you may, yep. may want to take your time, let it go from phase two or three and buy dips maybe, but because it's a very risky area. But when you get, if you get that, you know, if you get it all the way through that, then depending on the drug and the market size, but there could be fantastic returns, couldn't there? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But it is risky. I mean, but I guess the key with Diurnal is it's these two phases, right? It's interesting to see kind of a homegrown UK biotech company now moving into, or drug development business, moving into commercial. You know, they already had a smaller product, so they have some commercial traction, and now we're going with this, with the bigger product. And that's what I like, you know, that's how, what I want to highlight here is a good example of that risk profile changing. It's changing from biotech risk more to commercial execution risk. It still has other drugs in the pipeline, other, you know, they have a testosterone product, which is, you know, going, it's got to face some phase one data, but that's, you know, that's by the by, that's later on. There's no real biotech outcome results right now on that. But you see what I'm saying? What's interesting about this stock is we have a good example of a stock that's moving from biotech risk to more commercial execution risk.
Yeah, exactly. Marvelous stuff. Thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak next week. Have a nice Easter break, and we'll crack on next week. I mean, do you know what? When the markets are shut for like 4 days, I find myself, guess the Monday, I'm walking around the house like a zombie, you know? I'm thinking, what's going on here? Well, I've got nothing to do, you know?
It's the whole lockdown, unending Groundhog Day situation, right? So it's
nuts. Marvelous stuff.
The spring will bring a lot of change.
Yeah, hopefully. So. Cheers, fella. Speak soon.
Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, best of the best, down 7.34% to 2650, £26.50. At four, 88 Energy. It's been on a tear of late. It's gone berserk. But it's down today, pretty much 14%, 3.5 pence. At three, Get Tech Group. Up 3%, 23.2. At two, Echo Energy. That's down 5.56% to 1.275. And at one, Deliveroo. Didn't do very well, did it, in his IPO? never do IPOs. I've learned from that. Ignore them. Do you know what? There's always a market sell-off. They're pretty much nearly all the time they come back to where they started. And big hyped companies, all the time, their IPOs very rarely go smooth, you know. But there they are. But it's most followed. Okay, top five most liked RNS is, in fact, Bushveld. You like a Bushveld? Yes. Is second most liked. But let's look at the most read as well. Braveheart, sale of shares by PDMR. Hemogenics, CDX antibody update. At three, 4D Pharma, final results. At two, Argo Blockchain. Argo Points, a Guidehouse Climate Strategy Advisor. And at one, Supply at Me Capital, trading update. What else is most liked? Bidstack, posting annual reports. Well, they just posted those and someone liked that. Fast forward, new investment, cannabis cultivator, Argo Blockchain, Infrastrata. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.